Hello and welcome to MNIT Talks. My name's Paul Harvey. I'm the editor of MNIT and I'm here today with Andrew Harrison, who's the director of ESSA, the Event Supplier and Services Association. Hi, welcome to the show, Andrew.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Now, we're here today to talk about the supply chain crisis. And as the director of the Event Supplier and Services Association, I'm guessing your members have been talking to you about this for a little while now. What is it that your members are saying about the current situation in the supply chain?
When it was first put to me, the title of this this podcast, I suppose that initially I had slight concerns over the word crisis. I would say that working very closely with our members, for me, the crisis was between March 2020 and last summer, as we moved towards being able to run events again. I would say that was the crisis for the supply chain, you know, having to make decisions which were well beyond those of any normal human being having to make if you're running a business or working within our industry, within any part of it, not just the supply chain, but having to survive on little to no kind of government support or indication for a long time as to when we could run events was difficult. And that for me was the crisis. I think where we're at now as a supply chain is that we have a lot of challenges that we're now facing, some created by the pandemic, some created by other external influences. But I would say on a daily basis, the key concerns that exist, which continue to make it a challenge for the supply chain, is the aftermath of having to deal with cash flow when companies have been starved of running a business for you know, the best part of 18 months. A lot of companies obviously, you know, had to spend much of their reserves and get them, you know, and have to borrow money by various government schemes over an 18-month period. And that left a lot of companies, and understandably so, in a position where, you know, almost behaving in a way where they were startups. It left cash flow quite difficult, which has meant that we needed to encourage a pragmatic approach by clients in terms of approaching how they pay suppliers, and encouraging a more pragmatic approach to how clients will pay suppliers to keep those cogs moving, because it's so important for small, medium-sized companies, any company, in terms of managing that cash flow situation. Recruitment, again, this is, I'm sure, it comes as no surprise. You know, it's a national issue, it's an international issue, but recruitment within the supply chain is something which is really, it's having a bit of a choking effect in certain areas. Short term, it seems that there are few solutions short term in terms of getting back to where we need or what we need and what companies need.
Why is that? Is the skilled people that you need, are they not there, or are they, where have they gone?
I think it's a real combination of things. At the start of the pandemic, when furlough came in, I don't think anybody anticipated that a company would be needing to furlough somebody for 18 months. That was never part of that initial plan. I mean, if we all think back to those halcyon days of early pandemic, where we were, you know, we were all thinking that this was, you know, it'd be done by the summer and we'd be
September safe zone.
Absolutely. Let's just knuckle down and, you know, and we'll be back. So and what that led to is, you know, uncertainty in workforces. It allowed for a period of extended time where people were, you know, looked at what they were doing, looked at, you know, how they wanted to work and where they wanted to work. I think what it led to, with especially within the events industry, is that people naturally started to have to look elsewhere. You know, how does somebody who sat there having to put food on the table, pay the mortgage, pay the rent, you know, pay for the car, pay the car insurance, whatever it is, you know, how do you sit there and you know, and go, well, you know, I need certainty. And where other industries were able to open up quicker, where they started to trade quicker, and other industries were incentivizing, you know, bringing people into those industries far earlier than us. Some, you know, some of them, you know, 6 months earlier than our industry was able to reopen. We lost people to other industries. There's no two ways about it, because people needed certainty in their lives.
So I guess the way that we get people back into the industry is by bringing that certainty back. But that's going to be building up those trust levels again, that there will be long-term jobs in the industry. That's going to take time.
Absolutely. And our industry, you know, it's the kind of industry where you either stay for 5 minutes or you stay forever. That's what a lot of people, you know, talk to me about. It's either for you or it's not. And you make that decision quite quickly. But yeah, you know, certainty, we all need an element of that within our lives. That was one of the most difficult parts over the last 2 years. You know, what was our focus? You know, what was our reason for being? You know, we as human beings, we need an element of certainty and guarantee. And yeah, you know, we went into another lockdown not long after running events again. So we had our mini shutdown, you know, at the back end of 2021. And again, it sent, you know, shockwaves through the industry. You know, most of the exhibitions running in Jan-Feb were postponed again. They were moved. And again, you know, as people who are employed in our industry, you're sat there, you know, and you're fearing for your job again. And you're fearing that, you know, there was no return of furlough. And people are sat there going, what do you do? So I think that has had a huge, long-lasting effect. But don't get me wrong, furlough was a lifesaver for many. So it's a real difficult one. You sit there and you think, in the end, it probably became something which led to certain issues, but equally it was a lifesaver to many. And it's probably, you know, it's partly the reason why we've probably maintained the levels of people within our industry that we've had, that we've got. It's yeah, enabled us to hold on to that. But you talked about skills as well. But yeah, I mean, the skills drain is, again, it's something we talk about. You know, we have lost a lot of experience in our industry, as many have, who have sought to go elsewhere or do something different or retire or whatever. But we've seen a skills drain in our industry where we've lost people with, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years of experience disappear, go elsewhere. And, you know, slowly are we seeing that position get better? Yes, we are slowly. But I think we're an industry across the board, and not just the supply chain, that is seeing the need for or is seeing inexperienced people coming into our industry, which is great because we always want new blood and fresh blood. But to kind of, you know, introduce these people to the current schedule that we've got, where there is, you know, there is maybe that lower end of experience within it, is and hitting the ground running. It's interesting. But again, as I always say, I take my hat off to the supply chain, because if there's anybody who can step up to the mark and deliver and get done what needs to be done to make these amazing events, then I always put my money behind the supply chain. They're an amazing bunch of people and never to be underestimated, ever.
I was going
to
say that, I mean, the resilience of the supply chain is something that I've been struck by.
It sends shivers down my spine to think about what they experienced, you know, from, you know, 2 years ago and went through to still be here for the majority of those companies to still be here. Yes, there was casualties without a doubt. And we just talked about losing people within the industry, but to still be here, because, you know, we all talk about, if there aren't, you know, we need the supply chain. I always believe that an industry is only as strong as its supply chain. And without that resilience, I don't know where certain industries would be, you know. And we look across the whole spectrum of events. If you haven't got that supply chain who are there with the skills and the knowledge and the products and services to be able to turn up and switch the lights on and get stages and sets and AV and stands and flooring, I mean, what have you got? You know, it's incredible. And I know our industry across the board has taken their hat off to how resilient they have been and how they've managed to get through. And I just think, you know, the last 8-9 months of running events for me, although it's been bloody hard for them on reduced resources and a compacted schedule, it's not been easy. For me, it's all for them. It's all for them in terms of ramping back up and trying to get back to somewhere where we were back in 2019.
I guess obviously we can talk about how resilient the supply chain is, but we still do have people, like you say, the skills have kind of gone a little bit, and there are people being thrown in at the deep end a little bit. Is it a case of, like, the end users, the buyers, having a bit of understanding about that? Are you doing anything to kind of engage with buyers about this?
Yeah, I mean, ESSA took, we started beforehand as an association looking at, you know, we're always looking as part of our services as an association to educate clients, end users, on the benefits of using companies who have invested not just in becoming a member of an association, but via that invest in their own skills, training, knowledge, developing experience within their company. So via our own campaign, such as using as a member, we have things such as an accreditation where companies can become accredited companies. They can invest in individual training via an association, in health and safety, in sustainability, in D&I, in mental health awareness. And so we're there as an association to help support our members in continuing to try and develop these skills, knowledge and experience with these new recruits. And then on the other side of that, we as much as we can, we speak to the agencies, the organisers, the end users, to talk about that. You know, they need to be working with companies who've invested in that way, continue to invest in stepping up and out of this crisis, who can continually try to level up and work hard to be the best that they can be. So that's, you know, where we spend most of our time is trying to enable our members to be better at what they do and enable their members of staff to be better at what they do. So we can continue to talk to those buyers about why they should be backing companies like this, who continue to invest, even in the toughest of times, continue to invest in being the best in the industry.
Obviously, we talk about the toughest of times. I mean, we're in the midst of a cost of living crisis at the moment as well. Mm-hmm. How is that affecting things? It can't be helping.
No, absolutely not. You know, in that at the start, I mentioned there's a whole raft of issues which are affecting how we operate within our industry and in the supply chain. And some of them are our problems. Maybe some of them are problems we've created ourselves as an industry over time. But some are, you know, they're external. They're issues which they're beyond our control. And the cost of living crisis and the cost of running a business crisis, you know, in the supply chain, it's all about, you know, in many ways, we're kind of an industry of logistics. We move stuff around, we build stuff, we create stuff, we design stuff, and we're dealing in materials, we're dealing in having to move stuff. So on a basic level, when you're talking about where the pinch points are coming, you know, the cost of fuel at this moment in time in terms of having to take something physically from one area of the country to another or overseas into Europe. You know, there's huge differences in that. Material costs, you know, very kind of towards the end of the initial wave of the pandemic, we started to see, you know, the cost in basic terms of NDS going through the roof. And so, yeah, on the whole, members are seeing a cost increase. Our last survey showed somewhere in the region of about 30%. Is where they're seeing an increase in their basic costs in terms of providing the same service that they did 2.5 years ago. The impact is being felt, you know, and again, we talk about utility. So again, just, you know, the basic costs in terms of being able to turn on the lights in a business. And on an industry which is powered in many respects by electricity and so on. You know, it's very difficult because it's happened very quickly. And a lot of the time, companies in the supply chain and across the event sector, they're dealing on contracts which have been signed 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 2 years ago, and potentially even longer. And it's difficult because, you know, with everything that's changing at the moment, it's really difficult to keep a handle on what those costs are going to be in 6 months' time. You know, we're hearing now of the increase in October and potentially early next year in just the provision of electric, and it's really concerning. It's really worrying. So how do you contract with a company? How do you know how many people to employ? How much, you know, you can afford to pay people when you've got costs in various other areas going up exponentially? And you've got little control over it, and it's very difficult to forecast. So, yeah, it all has a real impact And, you know, on the human side of it, well, we're an industry of people. So, yeah, let's throw in 2 years of kind of crippling worry as to how are they going to be jobs? Is our industry going to survive? You know, is this company going to survive? And, you know, what am I going to be doing? And you then add to the fact that, you know, inflation is going to top 10% by the looks of things, and everything's more expensive. And so, yeah, everybody within our industry, which is run by people, it just all adds up to that, you know, and goes into that pot of what is a bit of a mess at this moment in time, when we could have probably really done without it, because we've just come through a crisis, and we just seem to be, you know, at the moment, it just seems to be kind of bad news story after bad news story. And you do just think, bloody hell, how do we, you know, how do we just keep, you know, because we will be expected to just keep going. And how do you do that in an industry which is so reliant on people?
It's a very good point. And I don't think we have all the answers today, unfortunately.
No, indeed. There aren't, you know, I haven't got the answers either. And I don't think many of my members have, and the people who work within our industry, apart from just, you know, knuckling down, you know, getting on with it, you know, making the best of certain things which are outside of our control, which is the difficult part, because human nature, we like to have a bit of control over what we're doing. And we've had 2 years of everything being outside of our control. Being told what to do and what we can't do, and not knowing when things are going to reopen. And we're now in a world again where we are, you know, there's lots of stuff which is outside of our control. You know, the cost of petrol, diesel, electric, you know, the cost of food, you know, they're all outside of our control. We don't dictate that. So again, we've jumped from one 18-month crisis to 2-year crisis into now an inflationary economic crisis. Which looks like it's going to get a bit worse before it gets better. Bloody hell, this is a cheerful conversation.
Well, I mean, we did talk about the resilience and the fact that they're solution finders, the people in this industry. Hopefully, even though it looks a bit grim at the moment, hopefully we will find a solution.
I agree. We will find a way, and we're finding ways as we go along. Without a doubt. And our guys, especially in the supply chain, they're very, we in the supply chain, we never look at things in isolation. We always look bigger picture, because as the supply chain, you're never just working on one event, you know, which again, I'm not being critical here, but, you know, an organizer might be running one event at a time, a venue might be hosting one event or maybe two, you know. Whereas the supply chain is always kind of looking forwards, always looking a little bit back at what they've just done, and sideways in terms of, well, we might have six events going on at one time where we're providing the AV, we're providing flooring, we're providing registration. And so they're very good in that sense of, I think, of, you know, as one of the stakeholder groups within the events industry, of having a really kind of broad view and not seeing things in isolation, which I think is really, really, you know, it's an amazing skill. Like I said, I think for me, you know, the main topic of this, which is about the crisis in the supply chain, I don't think any of my members would thank me for saying that they're in crisis, and I don't think they are, you know. And I think, you know, there's lots of things going on in the world at this moment in time without getting too deep, which, you know, which is a crisis. You know, our supply chain are very happy that exhibitions, events are running again, and they're rebuilding and they're re-resourcing and they're reinvesting, and they're slowly but surely they're moving away, and they're putting the words crisis in the rearview mirror. But, you know, there has been damage done. There's no way you can go through the last 18 months and it not leave a few scars and a few bruises. But for me, yeah, I want to kind of move, you know, we're moving onwards and upwards. But we've got the bruises now and the scars to show that we've got the experience of going through what was a true crisis for our industry and our supply chain. And now it's about, you know, moving forward pragmatically. And trying to be as positive as we can without getting too carried away. It's about being as positive as we can, rebuilding and taking the lessons we've learned from the last 2 years and implementing the best, and moving forward for hopefully a really successful 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years. And maybe we'll get to a point where actually we can, you know, stop talking about it and it's in the distance.